So this week we're talking about the chapter in Essential Ernest Holmes titled There Is One Life. But before I go there, I would like to read you something, a little something, from the introduction that Jesse Jennings wrote to this book, because Martin Luther King Day was this week. And it made me think about diversity and evidence of racism in our society and the importance of encouraging people to mingle. And I came across this little story about the history of Science of Mind. In 1945, there was the third congregation of Science of Mind Church that opened in L.A. They had a listing in Science of Mind magazine of all of the churches, and somebody at Science of Mind Publications that month added the word colored to the definition of that center in the listing. And this is what happened after that. Ernest Holmes arranged with his friend, the minister, Reverend Twine, of that center to go there to speak. And to a hushed, packed house he began, "I have been told that too many non-Caucasians attend these lectures. True, there are Caucasians and non-Caucasians in this congregation, but we must affirm we are all children of one living God, one life that permeates all without exception, one intelligence that governs all, and most important, every man and woman who abides in the universe is a significant entity in the one universal consciousness. Our doors will forever be open to all. Whoever you are, be proud. You are a divine idea in the mind of God."
Yay!
I just was so thrilled to read those words and to realize that one person made a judgment. And Ernest immediately said, "Ain't no way that's happening here." And so I am so grateful for that. And although I heard a joke recently that a Korean comedian got up and she said, "I'm looking around this room and everybody's from Caucasia." And so today I'm looking around and everybody's from Caucasia, but last time we met, a third of the people in the room were not. So I'm happy that some days at least we are able to represent the diversity that we hold as an intention for this group. So that's my acknowledgement of Martin Luther King Day, but it's also a great introduction to this chapter called There Is One Life. And I have this up on my refrigerator. Somebody brought it here for a talk recently. There is but one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. And that is one of the blessings that Ernest Holmes wrote that comes up over and over again, and I look at it every morning on my refrigerator just to remind me of the truth of our being. And what I think this chapter is about in Essential Ernest is the balancing act we do in every moment between being aware of ourselves as unique individuals and staying conscious as much as possible of the oneness of all life and the divinity that we represent. It's a balancing act because we go from one level of consciousness to the other. We go from recognizing the physical to recognizing the wholeness. And we are learning to live in a more connected state rather than a sense of separation. Our culture doesn't necessarily teach us to do that. There's a lot in our culture that teaches us to be separate and to think of ourselves as alone. When we're physically alone, we're supposed to be lonely. And I was alone at a meeting. I was sitting at a table by myself. I had a friend who was coming, but they didn't come until after I'd finished my dinner. The whole room was full with people. And people kept coming up to me and saying, "You must be very lonely." But a whole bunch of people came up to talk to me. I wasn't lonely at all. I was kind of reveling in my connections with people who would come to talk to me when I was by myself. And that was a lovely thing. So we are becoming conscious of the consciousness we bring to everything we do. That's what the objective is to me. I sort of live in that objective, is to become more aware of where I'm coming from in every moment. And the truth, as I understand it, is that the sooner I catch myself in a moment of judgment or disconnection, the quicker I can turn it around. If I obsess about it, the law of attraction brings me a whole lot more to obsess about, and I feel more afraid, or I feel more angry, or I feel more angsty or upset or anguishing, whatever the emotion I'm feeling, I'll get more of if I spend more time there. And that's not really helpful, to spend time there. So I want to spend more time recognizing that there is always the opportunity to shift the focus and to remember the wholeness. When we question our worthiness or our value, we're expressing resistance that we've picked up from our society. And we can let go of that limited thinking and spend time with the intention of remembering to live as God expressing. Not in pride, but being humble and kind. I love that Tim McGraw song, and I love that it was the song of the year last year in the Country Music Association, because that's such a powerful expression of how to show up in the world. Because when we say, "I am God expressing," it sounds like we're being prideful, but it is not. When I said it in meditation once, the words I heard back was, "And so is the gravel in the driveway." The gravel in the driveway is God expressing too. There is no separation. It is all one. We are all that. But the line that came after that, that was so precious and not sarcastic, although it could have been expressed that way, it wasn't, was, "What's so special about you?" Each one of us are a special, unique expression of that divine self, that divine love, that perfection of God physically present here on the planet. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when I teach people how to do the five steps of treatment, the first step is recognition, God is. And the second step is unification. I am that which God is. And I always teach in my classes, if you get to step two and say, "I am that," and you don't say, "Wow," you need to go back and do step one again. Because that is an expansion of who we are. That is connection to Source. And that's what we're trying to do. David was talking about the value of treatment. And I had a whole new insight about treatment this week, because I was inspired by Gail's talk last time on this same chapter. And what Gail did was read the chapter, and she was inspired to a book that said essentially the same thing, and she wanted to talk about the book. Well, it was a level of perfection in that moment, because Gail welcomed a new person who'd only been here once before. And the minute Gail spoke, Beverly, the other lady, said, "You're from Trinidad." And Gail said, "I'm from Tobago." And Beverly said, "I'm from Trinidad." And the book Gail chose was from Neville, who is from Barbados. So there was this whole Caribbean energy thing going on in this room last time that was fabulous and was so uplifting and so inspired. And that's the whole thing about this idea of connection. A friend of mine posted a quote from Abraham that I had posted in 3 years ago, independently on a list that hasn't been used since November. And this is what Abraham said. You think you keep in touch with one another on Facebook. You think you keep in touch with one another through your correspondence or your communication or your rendezvous. That is minuscule in comparison with the way you keep in touch with one another through your memories, through your contemplation, through your anticipation, through your giving your attention to the here and now. That's what's true. We are infinitely connected. And Gail got the message and didn't talk about the chapter that she was assigned to talk about. She talked about the ideas in the chapter in a way that would be more meaningful to the people who were here that day. That is so powerful. And when I read the chapter on Monday, I reread the chapter. I have read the chapter. But I reread the chapter on Monday, and I put it down, and I got up from my chair, and I walked over to my bookshelf, and I said, Gail inspired me to pick up what this chapter inspires in me. And so I picked up this book called Blessing by David Spangler, and I decided to talk about that. Well, I started thinking about this, and Tuesday morning, after I had read a big chunk of the Blessing book on Monday afternoon, I woke up on Tuesday morning and I started to write, and I wrote 5 pages in a notebook about things that I wanted to talk about in this talk. And the first thing that came to me was that Essential Ernest Holmes is Ernest Holmes' greatest hits album. And it's such a powerful thing that somebody who intimately knows his work brought together the greatest hits. And then I started thinking about greatest hits. And I was thinking about Gail talking about Neville as being one of the greatest hits her heart had ever had on that subject. And that Blessing was one of the greatest hits I've ever had on that subject. And that we are inspired to share these greatest hits. And that's what I'm going to do in our exercise in the second half today. I'm going to ask each of us to talk about the greatest hits that we've had in our consciousness about what the expansion of not living separate but living connected looks like in our lives. It's such a powerful thing when we get those inspirations, when we act on those inspirations, when we come together with the perfect people at the perfect time, whether it's in the physical world or the virtual world or the world of consciousness, and we get an idea and we allow it to flow through us. Last time, Gail talked about the power of the unspecified, general, global, universal mantra, I am. And she said, as you focus on I am, in your meditations, it can lead you to floating in the faceless consciousness of the oneness. And this week, we're talking about claiming our specificity without you losing the sense of universality. And so how do we do that? We connect, as Gail described, we find that infinite connection, and then we find ways to bring it into the physical. And so I went to Blessing, the book, and I thought about Blessing, and I thought about the last time Gail spoke before last week in November. We were in the room next to us, and Gail hadn't planned an exercise, and I had been doing a blessing that goes this way. You are light, and light you shall remain. You have chosen to come into form. You have chosen this form. You are light, and light you shall remain. And as our exercise, we said that to everyone in the room. I didn't write that blessing. Flo Avila Magdalena wrote it. It's in the book called I Remember Union, which is particularly powerful for this topic. I Remember Union is what we're talking about today. And so that blessing, I started thinking about you are light and how I had been using that particular blessing a lot as I go by someone on the street that looks like they're not having the best of days. I say that when I think of somebody that I don't have the clearest consciousness about that I might want to judge, I say that to them in consciousness to remind me that they are the same as I am and they are whole, perfect, and complete. No matter what it looks like in this moment, they are whole, they are one. And that, whoops, ha, that awareness. Fortunately, it's just markers on the floor. That awareness is so powerful. And then I thought about the You Are Light song that inspires me. And I thought, I think David Spangler wrote that song. And I looked on my phone to listen to the You Are Light song, and I realized that my iPhone had erased most of the music when I had to reset it at the Apple Store. But I have another old iPhone that has all my music on it, but that was downstairs. And then in that moment, I remembered that when David set up my tablet, he put all my music on my tablet. And I haven't used it in the couple of years since David set it up. I haven't used that tablet for music, but that morning it was right there to look up the song I wanted to hear that I associated with David Spangler. And when I called up the music, the song that came up is called All Is. And so I played You Are Light, but I thought I want to go back and play All Is. And I played All Is, and I remembered that that's actually the song that David Spangler wrote. It's so powerful to just follow the connections, to take the moment, to follow the inspiration, to feel it. And it took me directly to, because of what David did, it took me directly to what the question I had just asked is, what is the song that David Spangler wrote? And I was just blown away. So the whole theme that kept developing through the week was about music. It was all these references to music. And what Jesse Jennings wrote in The Essential Earnest is, from the very first time I encountered the ideas of Ernest Holmes, they have felt like the exquisitely exact words to the music already inside me. And I relate so powerfully to that with Ernest Holmes, but also to Louise Hay when I first was introduced with her music, to David Spangler, to so many authors who speak the words of the music inside me. And I am thrilled that we have the opportunity to have a mashup of Holmes and Spangler today. Because he says some amazing things about interconnection that I want to share. And he talks about blessing and how blessing is not just kindness. Kindness is a human giving to someone. Blessing is a giving to someone, not only from the human perspective, but from the spiritual perspective. And when I read his definition of blessing, it made me realize that every treatment we do for anybody, every spiritual mind treatment, every affirmative prayer, is a blessing. It doesn't matter what the subject of it is, it's a blessing. Because it immediately takes us to that place of God is, and I am that, and you are that. We are all one. And so it takes us to that place. And what Spengler said about blessing is, a blessing is much more than just an act. It's an affirmation of our interconnectedness. It's the creation of an opportunity for the power of that connectedness to pour through our lives and the lives of others. So practicing the art of blessing, we are really practicing being connected. Spiritual practices are about how we give of ourselves, sharing our life, our presence, and our substance so that the body of creation may be seamless and the infinite may be reflected in the presence of the finite. Once a daily guide in Science Mind magazine quoted Reverend Margaret Stortz saying, "We impress our finitude upon the infinite." And I was really taken by that phrase. And she was using it kind of as a criticism. But I see it as a blessing that in every day we uniquely impress our finitude upon the infinite. And we allow the infinite to come through us, as light and brilliance, as illumination, as peace, as serenity, as grace, as whatever it is that we are feeling of the oneness in that moment. We are bringing that here. We are bringing that here. Spengler said, in approaching the art of blessing, it's important to understand that we really are entering a territory that is different from the one we navigate through most of our daily lives. We are shifting to a way of looking at the world and at ourselves that's unusual in our mainstream society. This is not a magical or esoteric perspective. It's simply a way of understanding the ordinariness of the sacred and the sacredness of the ordinary. And finally, he says, how do I do this? How do I incorporate it in my daily life? And he said, we don't stay there all the time. But he said, periodically I stop for a blessing break. I begin by simply looking around me and gathering those things into my heart. I may just touch my computer, for example, thanking it for its loyal service and blessing it. I may bless the room in which I work and the house around me. And in these blessings, there is a sense of partnership for which I am grateful. I realize how my house blesses me with shelter, with a space in which to be creative, and my computer is the blessing of a tool with which to write. If I am out and about instead, I bless the people I see, the places I enter. I simply hold them unconditionally in my spirit heart, and the circulation of spirit embraces us both. I don't do this all the time, nor do I feel pressure to do so. Blessing is not a spiritual should, it's an opportunity. For when I bless, I meet my own unobstructive self, which is a blessing for me. Blessing is its own reward, not a requirement. And so Spengler is just such a grace. And so Holmes said, there is always God. No matter what our emotional storm or what our objective situation must be, there is always something hidden in the inner being that has never been violated. We may stumble, but always there is an eternal voice forever whispering within our ear that things that cause the eternal quest, that thing which forever sings and sings within us. So he concluded, and I begin my conclusion with, we must learn to live by inspiration. That means we should let the spiritual depths of our being flow through our conversation and into our lives. We must become artists in living. To live by inspiration means to sense the divine touch in everything, to enter into the spiritual things, to enter into the joy of living. And this morning I was in my kitchen making my breakfast, and I looked up and there is a little card that I made 15 years ago, I bet, that's been on my kitchen cabinet ever since, that says, "If you would learn the secret of right relations, look only for the divine and people and things, and leave all the rest to God." J. Allen Boone. I was reading a book. I don't remember who he was or what he wrote about, but that quote has stuck with me. And so, as we go into our second half, I want us all to talk about the moments which are our greatest hits of connection, where our hearts suddenly feel a wave of love or grow 3 sizes like the Grinch, where there are books and moments and phrases, or music. What is the soundtrack of your connection? So as we take our break, and then I hope as Woven Green does the beginning of the music in the second half, that maybe we could have some time to contemplate that to music of what is the soundtrack of our connection? What are the greatest hits our hearts have received about our connection to Source? Because it happens to all of us, and we all have a gift to share as we allow ourselves to bring those things to light, to make them, as Holmes said, a part of our conversation, to let those moments flow into the experience so that we stop being separate and we start acknowledging our level of connection. So that's what I have for today.